to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's yesteryear. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, Western drama with two characters brought out of their element into the Old West. Later on, a movie adaptation on the Academy Award Theater. But right now, it's an episode of The Frontier Gentleman with John Daner as J.B. Kendall, writer for the London Times. This November 2nd, 1958 broadcast, heard on CBS, called The Dudley Grover Family.
In Kansas, I found shelter for the night, which led to a number of rather awkward incidents. This is what happened.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
My rainmaking friend, Darby Bullman, had offered to take me into partnership in a new venture, namely water divining, the discovery of hidden springs and wells by methods known only to Mr. Bullman. I declined with thanks and hastily set out alone for the town of Independence, which I knew to lie some 20 miles distant. I hoped to arrive before dark, but my horse had gone slightly lame, and I faced the depressing prospect of camping hungry in a steadily falling rain. But a few minutes later, I was cheered at the sight of a dim glow of light in the gathering dusk and came upon a frame building surrounded by a stand of willowy trees. I tied up my horse, knocked at the door. It was immediately opened by a pleasant-looking young man of about 20.
Evening, sir.
Good evening.
You're looking mighty wet. Come on in.
Thank you. Oh, this is a store?
Yes, sir. Not much of a one. Only place between Independence and Osage Mission for supplies.
Ah.
Where are you about?
Independence.
Tonight?
Well, if I can.
I wouldn't try if I was you. The trail's washed out a couple of miles up the way. Less than you know it good, you can get bogged down pretty bad.
Oh? Then, would there be any possibility of putting up here for the night?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to ask Pa. Pa? Me and my Pa and Ma and Sally, we live in the back. Ain't a heap of room.
Oh, well, I wouldn't want to put you out. The barn would be fine if you have one.
We'll see what Pa says. We take care of travelers once in a while.
What is it, son?
Fella here, his horse is lame, wants to know if we can bed him down for the night.
My name is Kendall. I'd be very grateful.
Howdy. Albert Grover. This is my son, William. You don't mind a shakedown in the storeroom. It ain't the most comfortable.
But... No, I'm sure it'll do nicely.
William, tell your Ma to set another place for dinner.
Sure, Pa.
I'll want to pay you, of course.
Well, I ain't exactly in the hotel business, but I reckon a dollar will take care of it, bed and food.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, and is there a place for the horse?
William can put him in the barn. You better make it another 50 cents if you want feed for the horse.
Oh, yes, of course.
Where are you from?
No particular place, just traveling.
Salesman?
Newspaper correspondent.
Got a foreign sound to your talk.
I came from England.
Oh.
You got any tobacco to sell?
New bales just come in. How much?
Pound, I guess. A sack of flour and coffee, pound.
Don't mind waiting a minute, do you? I got to get the tobacco out of the storeroom.
I'll wait.
You want to come on back with me, Mr. Kendall?
No, I'll get my saddlebag first.
Sure, you do that.
Well, mighty nice rain we're having, ain't it?
Yes.
Mister, you a stranger in these parts?
Yes.
You figuring to stay here for the night?
Yes.
Don't do it.
Don't? Why not?
Listen, you think I'd have stopped off if I wasn't plumb out of provisions? Ain't nobody in their right mind comes around the Grovers and they can help it.
Oh? Why?
I don't know all the why of it, but there's them say peculiar things happen.
Things?
Don't ask me what. I don't know. All I'm telling you is I've heard, that's all, dark things.
For example?
That Mrs. Grover. You seen her?
Not yet.
Still-tongued woman. And a girl. They say she's got away with ghosts and the like.
Ghosts?
Go on, laugh. Maybe you'll laugh when you wake up murdered in the night.
Oh, as bad as that, huh?
There's folks been seen riding this way that's never been seen again.
Murdered by the Grover family?
There's talk.
Obviously.
I give you warning. As soon as I get my provisions, I'm putting distance between me and this place. Even you got the sense you was born with, you'll do the same.
Good evening. You're Mr. Kendall?
Yes, that's right.
I'm Sally Grover. My brother says that you're staying with us tonight.
Yes.
My mother asks if you'll be satisfied with meat pie, or would you rather have a plate of beef?
Oh, whichever is convenient. I don't want to put you in any trouble.
No trouble.
Mm-hmm. Meat pie, then.
Thank you. I'll tell Mother. Are you being attended, sir?
Fine. I'm just fine. Yes, ma'am.
Very well. Dinner will be in about a half an hour, Mr. Kendall.
Thank you.
You get a good look at them eyes.
Mm-hmm. Rather nice eyes, I thought.
Mister, you're plumb loco. They burn through you like a branding iron. Got a gun on you?
Yes.
Best keep it under your head tonight. No telling.
Yes, I'll remember.
Man, I'd have to be drunker than $700 to stay in this place tonight.
Yeah, I'll accept your word for it. Now, if you'll excuse me, I want to take care of my horse.
I sure wish you luck, mister. I surely do.
Yes, the same to you.
That you, Mr. Kendall?
Hmm? Oh, yes.
Come out the back to get your horse better down. You want to lead him, I'll show you the way.
Right.
Sure is a big rain. About time, too. Been drier than a dust storm around here.
Yes, yeah, so I've heard. What was that?
What?
It sounded like somebody crying out.
I guess I'm so used to it, don't mean nothing. That's a little old owl up to the top of the barn. Guess he killed himself a mouse or something. Don't let that bother you none, Mr. Kendall. Come on, better get that horse of yours out of the wet, lest he catches his death.
I left young William Grover to rub down the horse and feed him. By the time I returned to the house, the stranger had gone. I met Mrs. Grover, a tall, dark-haired woman, severe, unsmiling, and a few minutes later we were seated at the table eating an excellent meat pie. The father applied himself diligently to the task of eating. William chatted constantly, and Sally, olive-skinned, tall as her mother, quite beautiful, watched me across the table and an odd smile on her lips.
The minute I set eyes on him, I said, now that fella, he ain't from around here. He's maybe town folks. And he don't know the screech of an owl, and I'm sure of it. Ain't that so, Mr. Kendall?
It was rather an odd sound.
What sound?
Owl in the barn.
Be quiet, William.
Oh, no, we were taking my horse to the barn, Mrs. Grover. I thought I heard a cry. Your son told me about the owl in the barn, that was all.
More pie.
You eat too fast, Albert. Which paper do you write, Mr. Kendall?
The London Times.
I've never read the London Times.
Sal, she's real educated, Mr. Kendall. Had school. She does a sight of reading.
You believe in spirits, Mr. Kendall?
Why,
you believe that the dead can return?
I've never given it much thought, Miss Grover.
Don't let her get started, Mr. Kendall.
William, you'll be needing more wood for the stove.
Yes, Ma.
And put on your hat. Keep the chill off your head, boy.
Yes, Ma. Yeah.
Mighty fine meat pie, Mother.
Mmm. Very good.
If you're finished, Mr. Kendall, I'll take your plate.
Thank you.
Sally, the coffee.
How come you're traveling this way, Kendall? You got friends in Independence?
No, it happens to be the closest town. I'm not quite sure what I'll do when I get there.
What do you write?
Mostly about things I've seen, country, people.
Have you ever written about things that you can't see? You know about such, Mr. Kendall?
Now, no lecturing tonight, girl. Leave the man in peace.
Not at all, Mr. Grover. I'd like to discuss it.
I don't have to listen. I got chores.
What about your coffee?
Later.
I know you're not a believer. I can see it in your eyes, Mr. Kendall.
Perhaps you can convince me, Miss Grover.
You're laughing at me.
Indeed, no. I'm most interested.
You should be, Mr. Kendall. You only write of the living. There's more.
I've written of the dead.
There's still more.
Tell me about it. I don't know for how long she talked. Strange thoughts, half-formed ideas, philosophies. I was conscious of the depth of her eyes and remembered the words of the stranger, like branding irons. Candlelight flickered on the wall, and I was suddenly aware that we were alone in the room. Mrs. Grover had disappeared. There was only the sound of the girl's voice, drum of rain, crackle of burning wood in the stove. Then she became silent.
Nothing I've said. Nothing's made you understand.
The experiences, things that have happened to you, they're quite possibly true. I think I'd have to see and hear for myself, though.
People here believe in me. I've lectured for miles around. They're afraid of me, too.
Is that good?
If you knew, you'd be afraid.
Is that what you want? People to fear you? I would have thought that a girl like you, pretty, intelligent...
Pretty. That's really all you see in me, isn't it? All any man sees. You'd like to make love to me.
No. No, I don't think so.
No?
You're a little too direct for me, Miss Grover.
Why shouldn't I be direct? I'm different. I'm not like other women, am I?
No, you're not. Perhaps in a way, it's a pity.
If I were like the others, you'd want to make love to me?
You're not.
You may kiss me.
No.
Why?
Because you don't know how to behave like a woman.
I don't understand.
Someday you will.
Why did you come here?
My horse went lame. Raining. Too far to ride tonight.
Go away.
Why?
I don't know. You're not like the others. Go away.
What others?
It's past time for your bed, Sally.
You'll be wanting your own sleep, Mr. Kendall. Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Good night.
Minutes behind the wheel. That's all it takes to convince you that the 59 Plymouth's really got it. Got the newest of new design, new sport car handling ease, new Fury performance, new get up and go. Just tell your Plymouth dealer you want to sample the go. Then you turn the key and Plymouth's new Golden Commander V8 leaps into life. Now you just push a button and go on your way to the most fun-filled 15 minutes of your driving life. See your Plymouth dealer. Take your fun drive in the 59 Plymouth real soon.
You really go, go, go for a Plymouth, and Plymouth will really go for you.
I lay on my cot in the cold little storeroom, shadows wavering on the wall in the uncertain light of the sputtering candle. Somewhere, The shutter rattled in a gust of wind. The rain had stopped. Only a dripping from the leafless trees. The wind. Uneasy sounds. And I felt under the blanket roll, which served as a pillow. Then I heard it. Somebody outside my door. I drew out my gun. The latch slowly, slowly raising. Do you know how close you were to entering that spirit world of yours?
Thought that you'd be asleep.
No.
I want you to go now.
You said that before. Why?
I can't tell you.
Has it anything to do with what the stranger said to me before he left?
Stranger?
The man came in to buy provisions. He told me to leave, too. Warned me.
About us?
Yes.
What did he say?
Something about people disappearing. I gather that you and your family are not overly popular.
You're not like the others, are you?
What do you mean?
I want to be like the woman you said I'm not. If I tell you, will you go away? Will you take me with you?
Tell me what?
Shh. I want to be loved. I'm afraid of what I am. Take me with you.
Tell me what?
You're strong. You'll understand. It's not my fault. I want to go away. I've always wanted to. Others came here. They know about me. Because I'm pretty. You didn't come because of that, did you? He didn't either. He was a stranger, too.
Who?
Over there. Behind the bales.
The stranger I had seen a few hours earlier was lying huddled against the wall, surrounded by bales of tobacco, sacks of flour and sugar. His head had been smashed in, and his throat was cut. I sensed the girl at my shoulder.
They didn't have time to take him outside. They were afraid you'd hear. See, you were in the barn.
Why?
You'll take me with you?
Listen to me. Why have they done this?
The money. They get yours, too.
The others. You said there were others.
Yes.
How many?
I don't remember. Will you take me with you? Now. Before they come to do it.
You murdered them?
No. Pa and William, they do the killing. The others weren't like you, though. I didn't care if they died. I always had to die first.
When are they coming for me? Do you know?
Soon.
Do they know that you're with me?
Yes. We can go now before they come.
I don't think so.
They'll kill you.
No.
Yes. They're very good at it.
What about your mother?
She's not my mother. She's just the woman Paul married. I don't like her.
Shh. Get over in the corner. Not a sound, you understand?
You won't hurt me.
Go on. Stay out of the way.
Pa,
over here.
Pa's got a gun!
Not really, are you? Paul, William, you'll come back. You'll come back.
Get up. Come on, Sally. Get up.
We'll go away now. You'll take me with you. If you're with me, they won't come back. They'll be afraid.
Drop down your gun, Mr. Kendall. Come over to me, Sally.
Ma, he's going to take me away. I want to go. Don't shoot him.
You obey me, Sally. Get out of the way.
No. No. I hate you. I'll kill you! Is she dead? Is she?
Yes.
I'm glad that she'll come back again. They all will.
They won't hurt you anymore.
You take me away now.
Yes.
I'll behave like a woman. I won't tell you. Kiss me.
I'd like to. I want to.
Yeah.
She smiled, closed her eyes, and quietly died. When I went outside, the moon was out, the air smelled fresh and clean. And very faintly, I thought I heard the voice of a girl calling to me.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Eddie Firestone, Parley Bear, Paula Winslow, and Vic Perrin. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
Drive with care. Nobody has a life to spare. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The Frontier Gentleman on Tuned to Yesterday, a November 2nd, 1958 broadcast from CBS. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a Western with a comedy twist. It's an adaptation of the 1935 motion picture Ruggles of Red Gap on the Academy Award Theater. Charlie Ruggles, the comedian, is joined by Charles Laughton, who plays the part of Ruggles in this movie adaptation next, and it turned out to be one of the more emotional performances from Laughton on the silver screen. At one point in the movie and this following broadcast, Laughton recites the Gettysburg Address, which reportedly broke Laughton up so much on the set it took about 1.5 days to film the scene. Charles Laughton was once quoted as saying, "Method actors give you a photograph, but real actors give you an oil painting." You can expect that next in this fine performance, broadcast on the CBS Radio Network on June 8, 1946.
The House of Squibb, manufacturing chemist to the medical profession since 1858, bring you Academy Award. The pictures, the players, the techniques and skills which have won or been nominated for... The coveted awards granted each year by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to each in his field for outstanding achievement.
House of Squibb, makers of the great family of Squibb medicinal products, today bring you two distinguished stars, Charles Laughton and Charlie Ruggles, playing the famous roles they created for the screen in that outstanding comedy drama, Ruggles of Red Gap. Mr. Laughton has twice been nominated as Best Actor of the Year and in 1932 won the Academy Award. Ruggles of Red Gap was nominated as Best Production of the Year for the 1935 Academy Award. This is the story of a good American and how he grew. This is the story of Ruggles, a gentleman's gentleman, a man's man, an English valet whose master lost him in an unfortunate game of poker to a horny-handed American citizen of Red Gap, a friendly town of the far west.
Do I understand your lordship to say that I was a stake in a game of poker?
That's right. It seems I lost you, Ruggles, to a Mr. and Mrs. Egbert Cloud. Rather rustic chap, Egbert. Made a pile in mining, Ruggles. But you don't have to go off if you don't want to.
Go off, sir?
I've got an idea. I rather think they want to take you back to Red Gap.
Red Gap, sir?
Yes, Ruggles. Some outpost in America, I believe.
America? America, my lord. A country of slavery.
Oh, I think that's all finished. I believe some chap of the name of Lincoln did something about it.
I understand, my lord.
There's the bell, Ruggles. I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't that chap Egbert. To collect you.
To collect me, my lord? Very well, my lord. By the way, my lord, any parting remarks?
I don't think so, Ruggles. Oh, yes, of course. Stiff up a plate, Ruggles.
Thank you, my lord.
All out, Red Gap.
Well, Ruggles, this is home. This is Red Gap. Pretty far from London, eh?
Yes, sir. Are those cowboys, Mr. Cloud?
Yep, friends and neighbors. Well, come on, let's go. And remember now, none of that fancy butler stuff with me around here, Bill. As far as I'm concerned, you're Colonel Ruggles. You get that? Colonel Ruggles.
Yes, sir, but I mean to say,
sir. Come on, Effie, let's go.
Oh, Miss Jill! Oh, my dear! How sweet of you to come and meet us. Oh, how smart you look in your cutaway. I'd never have known it was you.
Yeah, well, I ain't so sure myself, daughter.
This is Ruggles, Egbert's man. We persuaded our friend Lord Brinstead to let him come to us. Ruggles, this is Mr. Belknap Jackson, our son-in-law.
Sir,
how do you do?
Oh, holy cow, there's your ma, Effie. Ma Pettingill. You old maverick.
Sourdough, you old horn-toad.
Well, ma, what kept you? I'll bet you were sitting in that old silver dollar saloon.
Ah, 'tain't so. Don't you know that this is the first train that's been on time since the railroad was built?
Foreign travel doesn't seem to have altered my dear father-in-law very much. I dare say you find him rather a trial after his lordship, eh, Ruggles?
Not at all, Mr. Belknap Jackson. Quite the reverse.
Hey, Sardo, where'd you get that trashy suit?
And that hat! Oh, baby!
Excuse me, sir.
Ma, meet the colonel.
Hi, Colonel.
How do you do?
Where's your uniform?
Mater.
Do I hear the voice of that darn dude, Belknap Jackson?
Mater, you can't shake hands with him. He's a man's man.
You bet your boots he is.
Hello, Mother.
Why, Effie. Well, darn me if you don't look like a real lady. Hey, boy?
Mother, Ruggles is Egbert's servant.
Well, too good for him if you ask me.
Bring that luggage, Ruggles.
Very good, son.
You're going to like it here, Ruggles. If Egbert likes you, you're a regular guy. And if you're okay with Egbert, you're okay with Red Gap.
Thank you, madam.
And don't be calling me madam, Colonel. My name's Ma. Ma Pettingill.
Yes, Ma.
Well, come on. There's the wagon. Let's get going. Come on, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Oh, just a minute, Egbert. I have written out this notice, which is to be printed in the society page of our newspaper. The Flouds are accompanied by their English manservants,
secured through the Earl of Brinstead. He will no doubt do much to impart an air of continental smartness to the flowered reception today.
Whoa, that's some mess of words, huh?
Now, you give that to Jake Henshaw, the editor of the paper, himself.
All right, Effie. Come on, Bill. Let's go.
Go, sir. Yes, sir. But is this the newspaper office, sir?
Oh, no, no. This is Nell Kenner's place. The Bohemian crowd's having a barbecue.
Hello, Sardo. When'd you come off the train?
Well, I just got in, Jake. Jake, shake hands with my friend Colonel Ruggles.
How do you do?
Colonel, shake hands with Jake Henshaw, smartest newspaper man in the West.
How do you do? Colonel? What army, sir?
Well, the truth of the matter is that
British Army, retired.
You don't say so. Well, say, that's a swell piece for the paper.
All right, well, go ahead, Bill. Go on. Now circulate. Make yourself to home.
Yes, sir. It seems to be a very tempting odor, sir. Could I inquire into its origin?
Well, that's barbecue sauce, Bill. Go on over and chin with the gal who's cooking it. That's Mrs. Judson.
Why, Egbert Slaud, you old son of a gun.
Hello, Nell. I've been looking for you. Where you been?
This meat sauce is really excellent, my good woman.
If you're calling me good woman because you don't know my name, name is Judson.
I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, I'm sure.
So you like my meat sauce, do you?
It's very good. It's very good indeed, in its own way.
What do you mean, in its own way?
Well, I was just thinking that maybe a few drops of this and a little bit of that might transform it into a really superlative sauce.
Oh, so that's what you're thinking. Well, let me tell you that I've been making meat sauce for longer than I can remember, and nobody's ever found fault.
My dear Mrs. Judson, I was not finding fault.
Well, then, what did you mean by a few drops of this and a little of that?
Well, I only meant that maybe a little spice and perhaps some wine vinegar.
Who ever heard of putting wine vinegar in a meat sauce? I believe you're kidding.
I shouldn't dream of kidding, of doing such a thing, Mrs. Judson. I was only trying to put you right.
Put me right. Now listen, Colonel. You stick to the things you know, like leading a regiment.
What?
And I'll stick to what I know.
My dear Mrs. Judson, let us not become embroiled in an international squabble. Shall we dance?
I'd love to.
Hey, cheese it, Bill. Here comes bad news himself. It's Belknap Jackson.
Colonel, whatever is the matter? I must say you're the finest dancer I've ever had for a partner.
Would you excuse me for just a moment, please?
Well, Ruggles. What have you to say?
Only that Mr. Egbert brought me here, sir, and told me to mix. I am endeavoring to obey his instructions.
Don't be impertinent. I was driving past and I saw you dancing. Saw you with my very own eyes. Now, you'll leave this place immediately.
Not without Mr. Egbert's orders, sir.
What?
I am sorry, sir. I say, was that you that kicked me, sir?
Yes, it most certainly was. I hope that'll teach you a lesson.
Why, he kicked me!
Yes, sir. So I did, sir. Why, I did, didn't I?
And I demand that ruffian be discharged at once.
Whatever possessed you to kick Mr. Belknap Jackson, I shall never understand.
Nor I, madam. Ordinarily, I am a model of self-control. It must have been Mr. Belknap Jackson's unfortunate behavior.
Oh, I'm afraid you'll have to go, Ruggles.
Madam, do you mean that I am to be abandoned to my fate in this uncivilized outpost?
Oh.
Uncivilized outpost?
You see, Effie, the man is utterly impossible. Go and pack your bags immediately.
But, sir, how am I to return to England?
You should have thought of that before, I'm afraid.
Yes, sir.
Now, just a minute, Bill. Just a minute. Look here, you two. Before you go throwing Bill out on his ear, you better get a load of today's paper. Colonel Marmaduke Ruggles, late of the British Army, bon vivant and man of the world, is at present the honored guest of Mr. Egbert Flowers.
Wait! That's not the message I gave you to be printed.
I know, Effie, but let me finish. An intimate friend of the Earl of Brinstead, Colonel Ruggles, will be a great acquisition to our social life. We understand that a series of entertainments are already being planned by socially prominent figures of Red Gap, such as Mrs. Judy Ballard and Mrs. Ralph Wilson.
Oh, this is disaster. This is complete social disaster.
Oh, how dare you pass yourself off as a colonel?
I made no such pretense, madam. You know Mr. Floud will call me that.
Oh, Mrs. Judy Ballard. A party for Ruggles. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, how do you do? You must be Colonel Ruggles. This is Mrs. Baron Carey.
How do you do?
Miss Jerry Grant. And I'm Mrs. Ballard.
How do you do?
Mrs. Judy Ballard. We felt we simply had to make your acquaintance. What are we going to do?
We've got to go through with it.
Effie, my dear, we've just called to welcome the Colonel to Red Gap. Oh, how sweet of you.
Sure, you'll excuse the Colonel for a minute. He was just going to change out of those black things into something cooler.
Well, we'll excuse him if he's not too long.
Hey. But I thought...
Never mind what you thought, Colonel. Charles will tell you all about it.
Come along. Colonel?
Yes, sir?
Yes, Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Now the farce is over. Just what are you doing in the library, Ruggles?
I am discovering the most amazing things about your country, sir. A land of freedom and equality. Do you know Abraham Lincoln said...
Where did you get that book?
I found it on the shelf, sir.
So I see. Well, if you were taking the trouble to look, you would have found my name on the flyleaf. And if you had inquired, you would have learned that I allow no one to use my books.
I'm very sorry, sir.
Yes, and those house slippers. They're particularly offensive to me. They belong only in the bedroom.
His lordship frequently wore house slippers in the drawing room, sir. In fact, I recall one occasion when he went dancing in house slippers.
Oh, no, no. No gentleman would go beyond the bathroom with those shoes.
Do you mean to imply that his lordship would...
Drop that weapon!
Weapon, sir. I was only resting my hand on this bookend, sir. Just your imagination, sir.
Oh, no, it isn't. I caught the same murderous look in your eyes the night you struck me.
I hope that incident has been forgotten, sir.
Well, it hasn't. And that's why I'm giving you notice.
Notice, sir?
Exactly. And keep your hand away from that bookend.
I can't believe it, sir. I thought everything was going so well.
Well, for you. But for the rest of us, the situation is impossible. Now, here's your ticket to San Francisco. I fancy you can manage to work your way to London from there. That's all, Ruggles. You'll just have time to pack and catch the number 36. South!
My train is a half hour late, and I thought I would drop in and have a bite to eat.
Welcome to the Silver Dollar Saloon, Colonel. Eat hearty.
Well, what are you doing here, Bill?
Oh, Mr. Floud, sir. I hope you don't think that I followed you here, sir. I thought you were on your way to the ranch.
We are. Only we thought it wouldn't hurt none if we split a bottle of liquor first.
Well, what's eating you, Bill? Sit down.
It's very nice of you to cover an awkward situation like this, sir. But I must ask to be excused.
What's he talking about?
First time I ever seen Bill drunk.
I am not drunk. I just want you to know, sir, that I have only the kindliest feelings towards you both.
Tight as a tick.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I must catch my train.
Train?
Well, sit down here, Bill, and sober up.
Please, sir, I am not in the least intoxicated. I am simply trying to tell you that you were undoubtedly justified in discharging me.
We better humor him, Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, who fired you, Bill?
Oh, Mr. Belknap Jackson, sir. But naturally, he was speaking for the family. It's very kind of you to furnish transportation to San Francisco, sir.
To what? Yeah, let me see that ticket. Ma, he means it.
You mean that dude, Belknap Jackson, tried to fire you?
Why, yes.
Well, I'll skin him alive.
Now, remember, Ma, don't do nothing rash. He's your son-in-law.
Oh, quit throwing that up to me.
Then I am not...
Why, Bill, we wouldn't fire you. Not even if you looked like Belknap Jackson.
I couldn't be happier, sir.
Oh, yes, you could. Drink that.
Oh, excuse me. I couldn't help overhearing. But will someone please tell me how Mr. Belknap Jackson could fire an important man like Colonel Ruggles? Fire him for what?
We spilled the beans that time.
You may as well know, Mrs. Judson, that my introduction to Red Gap as Colonel Marmaduke Ruggles was a horrible mistake. I am no one.
Oh, you must be somebody.
No, I'm not. I am just a nobody.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody, Mrs. Judson.
You mean you're just a plain, ordinary human being, same as us? Oh, I couldn't be happy.
Well, come on, drink up, Bill, and then we're going to up and move you back in the house.
Ah, but I don't want to go back, sir.
What do you mean you don't want to go back?
Well, I appreciate all you have done for me, sir. But Mr. Belknap Jackson will never consider me more than dirt under his feet, you see. And this is America, sir. A land of freedom and equality. And I must take advantage of my opportunities, sir, like Lincoln did.
We already got a president, Bill.
Oh, I am not ambitious for public office, madam. But I would like to become a part of this great country. You see, I want to be free and equal. Well, isn't that what America offers, I...
You bet your boots it is. Now, look what it says in the Constitution.
What?
Well, I guess Lincoln put it as good as anybody that day at Gettysburg. Remember what he said?
What'd he say?
Why, he said... Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, what did Lincoln say that day at Gettysburg?
Who? Oh, him. Yeah, why he said he... Hey, Curly.
Yeah?
What did Lincoln say at Gettysburg?
Search me, ask Ike. He reads the papers.
What did Lincoln say at Gettysburg? Hurry up before I come over and bust you on.
Hey, Ed. What did Lincoln say at Gettysburg?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, what kind of a saloon is this where nobody knows the answer to a simple little question like that? Well, what are you mumbling about, Bill?
Dedicated.
Huh? Well, wait a minute. That's it.
We are now engaged in...
Go ahead, Bill.
67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We are now engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation... or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far beyond our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be consecrated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation
under God, shall have a new birth of freedom and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Well, turn my eyes, Bill. After that, I reckon you not ever go back to being a gent. Why, darn it, you're a better American than we are.
Of course he is, you silly old coot. He's better because he's new. The newest American is the best American. Why, ask any Indian.
Doggone you, Ruggles, I'm fair, and so are all the boys.
Snakes and Gila monsters. Look who's come to crab the party.
Bill Nap Jackson, now looky here. What are you pushy-footing around here for?
I
thought I paid your fare to San Francisco, Ruggles.
Yes, you did, but I decided not to go.
You heard him. He's free, 21, and an American citizen.
Righto.
Well, then, I have a little surprise for you,
please,
Ruggles.
Please, go away from me, will you?
I just heard that your master is coming here to fetch you.
What?
True. Lord Brinstead arrives this morning. He's making the trip all the way to Red Gap just to take you back into service, Ruggles. Now.
Yes, that's so. Well, I reckon old Bill will have something to say about that.
What's the matter, Colonel? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I have, and don't call me Colonel.
Why?
He's coming to get me. You see, I'm still his servant, and I should never have tried anything else.
Naturally.
Tell him you can't go.
But you don't understand. The loyalty of my family to his lordship's family goes back many generations, Mr. Templeton.
And so you're going to drop all this. Your chance to be free. To be your own man among men. Just to keep some Englishman buttoned up.
Now, Mrs. Judson, please. You see, just at this moment, I feel as if I should like to jump into the river.
Well, all right. Go back to your old lordship and see if I can. And if you're thinking of jumping in the river, jump in it up by the bend. It's deeper there.
You don't understand, Mrs. Judson. You don't.
Get out of my way and stay out of it. I thought you were a man, but you're just a jellyfish. Colonel!
Wow. Looks like that gal has her feelings hurt real bad. I slammed the door and almost shook her custard pudding right to water.
Well, Ruggles, you'd better be getting your black suit on again. And while you're at it, put on your valet, man.
Yeah, now looky here. Wait a minute. What is all this talk about valet and everything? What's going on around here?
See, Ruggles, retribution.
I'll tell you all the truth about this man. You have known him as Colonel Ruggles. Well, he's an imposter. Yes, until he began a life of fraud here in Red Gap, he was nothing but a valet. A man's servant to this Lord Brinstead.
Thank you very much for announcing what I intended to disclose myself. It is quite true that I was in his lordship's service for many years, and I am proud of my humble beginning. And I am proud, too, to begin again here in America. And this time, I shall begin a free man. With your permission, Sam, I will ask this gentleman to leave your saloon.
Permission granted. You! You ask
no,
me
no,
to...
No, no, no. I order you in the name of Sam. You see, this saloon caters only to the American spirit. And you do not represent the American spirit. You are a snob, sir. And a cancer. And a bounder, sir. Words fail me.
Then grab that pudding, Bill, and give it to him.
Pudding. Yes, of course, madam. The pudding. Mrs. Judson's tempting pudding.
You dare to touch me and I'll...
You see, I did it and I'm glad.
What on earth has happened?
Madam, I very much regret that I had to use your magnificent pudding in a manner unbecoming a fine dessert.
Bill, you did it. You came through. You finally bounced that stuck-up snob.
Madam, I have the honor to ask you to share my new life, madam.
After seeing this, I'm ready for anything.
Even marriage?
Even that. Mrs. Colonel Ruggles,
of Red Gap.
Meet Ruggles of Red Gap, everybody. Well, come on, Colonel. Say something.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. You can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. That's right.
Next week, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award starring John Garfield in Pride of the Marines. Ruggles of Red Gap was written for radio by Frank Wilson, with an original musical score composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Our producer-director is D. Engelbach. Charles Lawton can currently be seen in Universal's Because of Him. Charlie Ruggles will soon be seen in Columbia's new picture, Gallant Journey. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you good night until next week at the same time, when you're invited to listen again to Academy Award, presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Academy Award Theater, pontooned to yesterday from June 8, 1946 on CBS. And so closes this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.